I think were best described as economic refugees. I think oftentimes when we think of refugees, we think of folks who are immigrating from war-torn countries. But I think that devastating economic policies like NAFTA have left a lot of people, especially in Mexico in the 90s, in a situation where there was no choice. Their choice was to stay and starve or to migrate north to find opportunities. And so that's exactly the situation that my parents were in. And that's why they decided to come to the United States. But I never imagined that I would never see my family, that I would never see some of my family members ever again. I, to this day, have not gone back to Mexico.
What was it like growing up with that anxiety or uncertainty of being undocumented?
From the moment that I arrived in this country, I was acutely aware of the fact that we were not supposed to be here and what the consequences would be if we were found out. So I remember my parents saying somebody could come to the door, or it could be a letter in the mail telling us we have to leave within a certain amount of time or they're going to put us in jail. Is kind of how they explained it to me. And so they would make me go get the mail, and I would feel anxiety and just like my stomach would churn just at thinking, oh, is this going to be the day that we get the letter? And then also being an older sibling, being told like, this is what happens. Like if the police pick us up, if something happens to mom or I, this is what you need to do. This is who you need to get in touch with. So my family was always very open, I think almost to a harmful degree, and letting me know what the situation was and what the dangers were in it. Because I think as long as I have been here, I have been a ball of anxiety about my status and the status of my family members. My sister, she is a person who is protected under the DACA program.
So are you worried about her?
Yes, absolutely. And so I think for me, it's been the case that even when I have been able to gain a status that has a pathway to citizenship, if the rest of my family is still undocumented, if the rest of my family is still at risk for deportation, I mean, it throws my life into upheaval, because I'm not going to be the only person to stay here and watch my family get put in a detention center and sent back to Mexico under this new administration.
The local sheriff has said he will not send out his deputies to look for undocumented immigrants. However, it seems as though the orders coming out of the Trump administration are basically deputizing all local law enforcement to be immigration agents. What is your understanding of what could happen?
They have a resources problem. They have this giant blueprint for mass deportations, and they don't have the resources, even though they are doubling the number of ICE agents, Border Patrol agents, immigration judges. They still don't have enough power to be able to do all of that. And so the very clever thing that they have done is to recruit local law enforcement to act as immigration agents to help them achieve these means. Now, this isn't new. This was something that the Bush administration was doing and the Obama administration was doing. But because the Obama administration came under so much fire, they scaled back some of those programs, but the mechanisms for those programs to be activated are right there waiting for somebody to flip the switch. And so it looks like, by the way that these orders and these memos are written, that's exactly what they plan to do. So while the sheriff has stated that he won't play an active role in actually going out and seeking undocumented people, the problem is that anytime that an undocumented person has contact with law enforcement and ends up at the jail, ICE might request information or might request that that person be detained longer than they would normally be detained in order for ICE to get custody of that person. And our county jail complies. One question is, will our local municipalities, our county, actually aid ICE? But the other piece is, when you pick somebody up, are you sharing information with ICE?
By most accounts, being in one of these immigration detention centers is, it's a horrible experience. You cannot see your family. What are some of the things that you hear?
A lot of these detention centers are for-profit detention centers. So one of the most egregious things about it is that there's going to be folks who are actively profiting from the detention of these immigrants and from the expansion of that detention. Many of these places are located far, far away from any public transportation or any sort of accessible transportation. So people essentially disappear and families don't have any way to come and visit. Additionally, as a visitor, you run the risk, if you don't have status, to get caught up in trouble. So even if people find the way to come and travel and see their family. They're often too scared to do it. And then the other part about it is that it's limbo, because our immigration system is so backed up that people sometimes are awaiting 3-4 years to see an immigration judge when they have a legitimate asylum petition or a legitimate legal remedy, but we can't give them back the time that they've been sitting in a detention center. You know, additionally, these detention centers are notorious for mistreatment, from withholding, they're notorious for withholding medical attention. They're notorious for overcrowding and all the problems that come associated with it. Family detention is something that the Obama administration ramped up. And so we've got families, entire families, that are being housed in deplorable conditions and who have no recourse. But I think that the narrative that we are hearing now is one in which the word immigrant has been equated with criminality. And that's, again, a very clever way to make everybody seem dangerous, or if not dangerous, at minimum a burden to society. So I think the public is seeing, looking around, noticing that things aren't working, that things aren't going well. And here we have leadership that is giving us somebody to blame with hopes that this is going to improve things in this country. But our country was built by immigrants, relies not just on the labor, but on the contributions outside of labor that immigrants bring. And so I'm very scared for what will happen.
Now, the orders specifically talk about people who have had some brush with the law. Is it your fear that other people who are completely innocent, who've never done anything wrong, will also get swooped up by agents?
Even under the Obama administration, when the priorities for enforcement were criminal aliens, that seems pretty unfair, because we know that racial profiling happens. We know that people of color are more likely to be criminalized, more likely to be convicted, more likely to have the weight of the criminal justice system come fully against them. So in a way, you've already been tagged to be more likely to be criminal, right? So that's one piece. I've heard a lot of cases of, you know, there will be a couple of young people, Latino young people, hanging out outside of somebody's house, police pull up, and now you're getting charged with gang activity. So that's a problem. But then now fast forward to what we're experiencing now, the language in these memos is so vague that it includes anybody who has committed what could be considered a criminal act, even if they have never been arrested or charged, which means that virtually every single undocumented immigrant, by virtue of having come here without permission, is included in that definition. So while there's enforcement priorities, if everybody fits into the priority, it's a blanket, it's open season on any immigrant who is here undocumented.
What would be a more rational way to deal with immigration? If the question is, we want people to come to our country legally.
Well, one important piece is that we need to be aware of how our own national policy may stabilize or destabilize a country that is not our own. And so NAFTA was bad policy that created a lot of chaos in the Mexican economy, in Mexican agriculture. And that's one of the root causes that created this wave of people to come here. I think in this moment, though, if we don't want illegal immigration, then we need to provide ways that are efficient, effective for people to come to the country, whether they're seeking asylum or whether they're trying to migrate to reunite with their families or whether they're trying to come to this country to start a business. For a lot of us, there's no legal remedy. My family, when we were going to come to the United States, we petitioned to come here legally. That was in 1996, maybe. We still haven't heard back from that petition. That petition has not yet been answered. Like, they still have it. I can look it up and track it and see where it is in the stack. And who is starving or who is facing violence or who can no longer support their children is going to wait around 20 years to get the okay go to reunite with family members in the United States. It's just not logical. So when people say, well, you skip the line, if you want to come, you got to do it the right way. Right now, there is no right way, and that's exactly the problem. For a long time, the conversation has been centered around immigration reform with a pathway to citizenship. I think that's the way that we address the problem at this point. But to try to address it by building walls and by trying to deport 11 million people who contribute so much to this country is inhumane, it's immoral, and it's unfeasible.
What do you think is at the heart of this fear or this surge of fear about immigrants that exists in some parts of the country?
Well, I think a lot of it is rooted in racism. I think a lot of it, our immigration system has a very racist background story. We have, immigration has always been about who we deem worthy of accepting in and who we deem unworthy and want to keep out. I don't think it's any different today. I mean, I think that this is especially harsh on people of color, immigrants of color. So I think that that's at the root. The other piece is this notion about criminality and this narrative that the U.S. is more dangerous than it's ever been before, and that must be because immigrants. So this false correlation, even though it's that's actually been debunked over and over again, the narrative about immigrants doing the work that no one else wants to do, it's like people aren't machines, and they're not just here to work. They love, they make families, they make our communities better, they feed us, they, you know, so it's a bigger contribution beyond just the economics. But I mean, if you want to talk in economics, like, immigrants are contributing.